All right, so this is us. You're listening to 87.9. Let's see, the volume's a little loud. Now we get a little bit of feedback. And who are we speaking with?
I'm Paige Sullivan. I've arrived at the Centerpole today from Virginia. And I'm very excited to be here to join all the wonderful people that are congregating.
And how is it in Virginia these days? Where in Virginia are you?
I live in Charlottesville, Virginia, which is near the Blue Ridge Mountains. And you may have heard of Thomas Jefferson, and he's one of our famous people that has Monticello, which is part of Albemarle County nearby.
And you don't tilt that mic just a little bit down towards you. There you go. And I think it's Virginia?
Virginia is one of the East Coast states, one of the original 13, and I've lived there my whole life. And Susie Kelly, who's one of your founders of the Centerpole here, grew up about a mile from my house, so we've been lifelong friends.
Oh, wonderful. Well, Virginia is such an exquisitely beautiful, all the horse farms, just kind of amazing, the huge expanses and the green. It's pretty lush.
It's pretty lush, and we are going into one of our best falls. We've had a dry summer, but now that the August and September has been wet, we will have a very colorful autumn.
And the Appalachian Trail moves through there as well, and Luray Caverns, if you haven't checked out the limestone caves, that's certainly something for the list, as well as the ocean.
Right.
You've got a little bit of everything there.
We do, we do. It's basically a triangular-shaped state, and at the northern Virginia side, Washington, D.C. is across the Potomac River from Alexandria, which is where Susie and I are from. And Charlottesville is right in the center of the state, halfway between the Chesapeake Bay and the Blue Ridge Mountains and the Shenandoah Valley.
Okay, and there will be a test for all you folks out there listening. So tell us a little bit about what you're involved in reference to being here at this particular time.
The congregation of people interested in giving back to the earth and coming together to share ideas and experiences and a concern for the Centerpole in particular, but mankind in general, that we need to work hard to bring more love into the world. From my personal point of view, it's really important to involve the young people and let them know that things can change within a generation, so that there's always hope, and the more that we can talk about it, the better.
And specifically, what are some of the issue items on your agenda that you would like to see change, and what would that change be?
Well, I think that the main change is just to be kinder to other people and more tolerant of the differences and similarities that we all have. So the change I would like to make in my lifetime as a teacher and as a concerned human being is to help young people become the best they can be.
Well, you know, when I look at things, I've sort of started to put together a manifesto. I look at the end of the central banking system, the Federal Reserve. I think, you know, some simple things like you couldn't profit from war. If you couldn't make money from killing people, then anybody that's involved in the military-industrial complex would immediately receive a minimum wage. and bring back some sanity to that whole concept. The insurance industries and healthcare, and differentiating that health insurance is not health care. 35-34% of all the economics go right to the insurance company rather than to the, and just the way. So anyway, there's, transportation, bringing bicycles back into focus and looking at the way we set up our communities, solar powered and green living kind of scenarios. So do you have a comprehensive presentation in reference to, getting people to be kinder to each other may mean that you have to turn off your cell phone. What are the impacts of your cell phone on the people in the Congo? Just like we heard a little bit about Virginia, there's other places in the world that are being seriously impacted by the consumer mechanism programs that we have.
They are. And, the internet has made people more aware of the global problems, but also the fact that many of the solutions are as close as opening your eyes to something that's happening nearby. So communicating and using the cell phone or internet or any way of communicating with the idea that you are talking to somebody just next door, that we are not that different, and that people in Virginia or Montana have many, many of the same concerns.
And so the idea, well, for me anyway, is like learning to implement those emotional tones of concern and for each other and kindness, and then how do we actually turn those into specific actions? And I think part of that is understanding and getting a deeper sense of what those words really mean. Because this all this religion stuff really didn't seem to work too well. It seems that more people are killing each other in the name of one fundamentalist cause or another. And so that certainly didn't seem like a good model.
Well, the differences in religion are oftentimes cultural, and so people get all puffed up about that they're right because they've lived that life before and they're doing it the way that they were taught. Well, now's the time to drop those blinders and realize that whatever you believe in, that you don't have to defend it so much as you need to point out to other people that it is a belief system, but it doesn't govern, it doesn't say that you have the right to be mean to other people.
Well, and I would say that a belief system is something like a cosmology. And as like languages are different for different folks, your cosmological interpretation may be different than someone else's, and it may just be semantics.
Right. It could easily be that way. And, the radio station is such a good idea because with words you convey so much emotion, you convey the cultural way that you put words together, and hopefully that it brings across the best of your ideas. And I think a lot of times the politicians and people that really like to argue and debate are dwelling on things that are very negative.
And if you would like to join in the conversation, you can certainly come down here to the radio station. I think that's a community begins with communication. I think that's a really interesting place to start. And what is conflict resolution? If you were going to define a conflict resolution strategy, what would be one of the first precepts that you would think would need to be identified?
Actually, I was teaching in a school where they were using student mentors to participate in conflict resolution. And some of the basic skills were not only language but body language, so that people would recognize each other in a straightforward way, and that no matter what disagreement, it was treated as an issue, and that the two people discussing it were
objective
and needed to approach it with respect.
Well, and it's interesting to look at that. When you identify that your emotional body is just that, and that you need to learn to read it, just like you read the gas gauge on your car, or the speedometer might be a better example of emotion, E-motion, energy in motion. And to understand what that is when it's running around in your blood from the hormones that are generated from the thoughts that are stimulating consciousness, and looking at the whole of the physiological process while you are maintaining intellectual objectivity, I think that's a very strong place to start.
To start with. I do too. Because if you can't get over that hurdle, then you can't get to the meat of the matter and actually have each side crystallize what they actually want to present, and then debate it for its pros and cons.
Well, even getting to that point, to identify what are the emotional triggers that, you know, because a lot of times it would seem to me that, I spoke with a friend, and he mentioned that a lot of people don't want resolution. That first of all, you need to actually want to have, and what is to be made whole when you are completely at ease with yourself and the issue and the other person that represents these things within yourself, and how do you adjust forgiving but not forgetting? And so that you learn, but you also become deeper aware, and somehow you let it go. I think that's a...
It is, and I'm remembering that at beginning of the school year, we would say that most... some of the most important lessons are learned in the sandbox, that as a kindergartner or as a beginning student, you bring from your family of origin and how they deal with conflict to a school, which is a melting pot. And so if the child is guided in such a way that it's a free place to express themselves, and also to have healthy disagreement, that's a perfect way to get started on a lifelong behavior pattern, so that you don't just have to stalk away or carry a grudge, that there are many other solutions that can be presented.
And there may not be any solutions at all, and I think that's something you touched on, is to have a healthy disagreement. Mm-hmm. That it's okay to see it a different way. And in fact, diversity is a part of the splendor of existence itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, We are moving into a new millennium of many people that want to have other ways of resolving, not just the traditional ways.
Kill your enemy.
Exactly. Be the best. Having everything about competition. That there are so many things in life that they're all winners. And if you have an optimistic point of view, you realize that over a longer period of time, you may learn a lesson that, you know, will benefit you. I think that in the second half of my life, I don't necessarily want to be right. I just want to have a chance to be with other people that are thoughtful and conscious, that it's a new consciousness.
A new consciousness. And I think that's really well spoken. And I think that's where we are as we look at the closing of, what is it, the fourth world or the fifth world? And, you know, what does that mean in terms of our solar system orbit around the galactic hub? And how does that translate? And what is fractal harmonics, resonance, attunement, different ways of experiencing emotion and energy and translating those things into a super sensitive connection with your physical body as well as the earth itself, mm-hmm. and one another,
mm-hmm.
and so that, you know, that be kind to each other takes on a whole nother dimension when you start actually exuding that electromagnetic field of energy kindness.
Mm-hmm. It does. Our friends have been talking about watching the sunrise in the morning and starting a day in a special way that will bring together new ideas and also a conversation about whatever it's going to be, but the idea of possibility, that the sunrise each day symbolizes that you have all the time in the world to start over right then, and why waste a single minute of it?
And I would suggest for all of you out there is to remember that the sun will never rise and the sun will never set in your lifetime. That the sun is the most stationary object in your existence. As soon as you realize that the sun is stationary, the first thing you'll recognize is that the earth is spinning. And all of us, the trees, the fish, we're all spinning on it together. And it may seem like sort of a semantic kind of scenario, but if you think for a second, if the sun rises and sets around you, your individual idiosyncrasies become amplified to your self-image identification, and you become separate in the world, isolated. If the sun is always stationary, the earth is spinning. We are all, everything spinning together. And if we're all spinning together, then my personal idiosyncrasies are also yours. And the trees and the fish. Mm-hmm. And we become immediately integrated into a unified field of consciousness, differentiated by our individuality, but unified in our sense of being in the eternal moment of time. And so that's where we're looking to go in the next few days.
I think so too, and the idea that this moment in time and this gathering that will come together is so unique, and that many people have traveled thousands of miles in order to come and participate and be willing to just have the best time in the world, that it will be just delicious for this weekend.
Yes, and I think that's the really tantric activism. You know, bring your passion and your energy into your, and the vitality into this mm-hmm. momentary, eternal experience, mm-hmm. and then we can move forward with and recognize that all of this stuff around you has already happened. It's the past. We're letting go. We move through the future backwards, and recognize that a lot of the dysfunctions around you are being jettisoned from the consciousness of mankind. So rather than embracing the things that are falling away, embrace the things that are coming to you that actually enhance your sense of unified consciousness in this mm-hmm. wonderful experience.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to sign off.
All right. And who are we speaking with again?
I'm Paige Sullivan. Talk to you soon.
And do you have an organization that you work with?
No. I'm just with Center Pole Foundation.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Good night.
You're listening to 87.9 Crow Voices. And here we go back with some music.